But right now, I'm going to talk about an article that I read in Outside Magazine. No, Gordon, not Out Magazine, although I also subscribe to that.
I still love that joke.
This is Outside Magazine and an article written by Charles Bethea on developments in shark repellent. Now, I'm particularly interested in this topic because when I was a kid, we would take our family summer vacation to Port Aransas every year. And this is in the mid-70s at the height of Jaws.
And you're pretty brave to get in the ocean after watching Jaws.
It didn't affect me at all. As a kid, I would go out to not only the first sandbar, but sometimes the second sandbar. And if there was a third one, I'd go out there.
Wow.
And I would get a raft, or my cousins and I would sometimes rent surfboards, and we'd go as far out as possible, and I never once thought about it. Now that I'm an adult, I lack as much courage as I did when I was a kid, because now I think about a shark attack all the time when I go out into the water. All the time, and I will not go out to the second or third sandbar anymore. It's very rare that I do that. So if there was a shark repellent that actually worked, I would be really interested because then I could play in the ocean again, which I haven't done since I was a kid, really. So in this article, they talk about the years and years and years of trying to come up with a shark repellent. And it's also a fascinating topic because on this show in particular, we talk all the time about man versus beast. Could a man beat up a chimpanzee? Could Larry Allen win that fight? Would you rather be eye to eye with a great white shark or a grizzly bear? You know, just all those great hypotheticals. Well, I'm going to read from this article. The author goes to South Africa, and he's at this place, the Indian Ocean.
Good day, mate.
Just east of Cape Town, where shark nerds from around the world come to live each year. 2,000-pound sharks are common along the coast, and it's where these people gather every year to test shark repellent methods.
Bad gig.
Keeping sharks away from surfers and ocean swimmers as if they were mosquitoes in the woods, either through smells, magnetic fields, or any number of other schemes, has become a holy grail of sorts for certain scientists and entrepreneurs. One intern there told the author, "It's not exactly trying toothpaste on rattlesnakes, but there are easier tests to conduct." And another woman who is stationed there said, "I assisted on an LED light trial soon after I arrived. It didn't go well."
Oh, gosh.
"Great whites were wooed to the side of a 26-foot research vessel with sardines and then flashed with powerful lights while tempting tuna heads were tossed into the light's path. The strobe had little noticeable effect. The sharks tried to eat the heads anyway." Mm. Another tactic used electricity. "But great whites, unlike many other species of shark, aren't terribly bothered by it." A third used sound waves in a failed attempt to overwhelm the shark's senses. One group painted orca patterns on a dummy of a seal, a favorite food of great whites. It seemed to work until the dummy stopped moving and then the sharks chomped it. Nothing so far has consistently repelled sharks. And then he goes back in time and looks at the history of shark repellent tactics. He says in the mid-20th century, the methods were crude. As early as 1916, the governor of New Jersey urged dynamiting off the state's coast after five people were killed or maimed by a shark. They just exploded dynamite.
Keep them away for an hour, maybe.
In 1945, the Office of Naval Research, the Woods Oceanographic Institute, whatever that is, and others, including Julia Child, who at the time was working at the Office of Strategic Services, explored chemical deterrents like cyanide and strychnine, but the chemical compounds usually only killed the sharks.
Well, that works.
Yeah.
In South Africa in the 1950s, scientists stretched huge electrical cables from the shore to the surf zone and back, forming a giant U-shape of presumed safety since sharks are sensitive to close-range electrical fields, but the cables only zapped humans.
Oh. Yeah, they don't have the voltage right there.
No.
Japanese scientists.
Meanwhile, displaced. Some Americans ventured into the sea with their legs hidden in giant plastic bags, thinking that would work. Others tried colorful bathing suits in the mid-50s to mimic poisonous sea creatures, and the sharks didn't care. In the 70s, they found out that the sharks wouldn't eat the Moses sole, a Red Sea-dwelling fish. When threatened, it secretes a chemical that causes the jaws of white-tipped sharks to lock open.
Huh.
But scientists weren't able to replicate the active molecule in that secretion.
Ugh.
A decade later, a scientist built a huge squirt gun to test whether they could get this chemical and shoot it straight into the mouth of the shark.
It's hot.
But the ocean diluted the repellent as soon as the gun fired it. Because you're dealing with water here. That's not. Yeah. It's a lot harder than, you know, trying to trank a land animal or something like that. Worldwide, each year, there are about 80 reported shark attacks. That's all. Doesn't it seem like more?
No, it's not much. They're on the rise, though.
Yeah, resulting in 6 deaths on average. Though the odds are extremely low, the fear of shark attacks remains great. The most established product on the market currently is a $649 Australian device called the Shark Shield that emits a 3-dimensional electronic field from electrodes mounted to the base of a surfboard, supposedly causing the shark to experience muscle spasms.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about that.
Then there's a device called No Shark. It's $449. It's a surf leash from ankle to surfboard that sends out an electrical signal that is said to affect the shark's sense organs. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd trust that either.
Yeah, as that shark is lining you up from 100 yards away beneath the surface and then gets up to full speed going 60. Is that little electronic device going to keep him from hitting your surfboard going wide open?
I wouldn't trust it, no.
No.
The author writes, perhaps no one has come closer to cracking the shark repellent mystery than Eric Stroud. A pharmaceutical consultant got fascinated with the topic in 2001 when on the cover of Time magazine it was declared Summer of the Shark. So for the next couple of years, he set up an inflatable pool in his backyard, a completely self-funded project, and filled it with baby sharks, baby nurse, lemon, and dogfish sharks. And he tried all these different experiments, but he had a breakthrough. He said one of his baby lemon sharks died, and he said, I don't know why, but I preserved it in alcohol. I didn't want to throw it away. I felt bad. And then he figured there was this alcohol solution, the dead lemon shark combined with the alcohol solution, and he had heard a rumor that dead sharks repelled other sharks.
Mm-hmm.
So over the next 6 years, he focused on this chemical solution. The compounds don't exist in living shark tissue. They can only be harvested from a dead shark. Sharks, he says, will avoid the taste or smell of a dead shark like an evolutionary cue. And so this is considered this big breakthrough, and he tested it, and it worked on 30 species of shark, including bull and blacktip, the two that account for most of the attacks in the United States, but no tests had ever been conducted on great whites. So he had planned to do this. Meanwhile, in 2014, an entrepreneur named Nathan Garrison came up with shark bands, an 1.5-inch long magnet wrapped in colorful plastic. And he said if you wear this band, it has this magical effect that will repel a shark.
Yeah, I used to wear those to hit better golf balls.
It's something like that. Well, in 2016, a 16-year-old in Florida, Zach Davis, was wearing shark bands, and he got attacked. And he said, I got it for Christmas. It was the first time I wore it, and I got bit.
So it attracts sharks.
Yeah, so he had to have 40 stitches in his left arm. Well, the creator, Nathan Garrison, and the kid who got attacked, Zach Davis, appeared on Jimmy Kimmel Live to talk about this. And they did a 6-minute segment with Kimmel. And Nathan, the creator of Shark Bands, speaking via satellite from his home in California, invited the kid who got attacked to come out and see the product in action. And Jimmy Kimmel said, he's already seen it in action.
Right, yeah, I need to see that again.
He got bit.
Lucky to be alive.
How much more action does he need to see in person? So there are not many people believe in shark bands. Well, back to the chemical, the alcohol chemical compound of the dead shark. They finally got to test it. So they went down to South Africa and they tested it on great whites to see if it would repel the great whites.
Promising.
So they chum the water around the boat, and once enough sharks got around the boat, they started testing, and they used a bilge pump. They sent a liter of this chemical solution from the boat through a tube attached to a long stick and into the water about 8 feet from the boat. And they also had a bunch of sardines out there as bait.
That's your theory.
Right.
Trying the sardine theory.
Well, the first few sharks that approached the bait turned away. They all kept turning away, turning away. None of them would take the bait, and the chemical was in the water. So the scientists are high-fiving. And then they said after enough time to provoke optimism, suddenly a giant shark took the canister of sardines with his massive jaws and went out to sea with it.
And half the boat.
So they tested it again the next day, and same thing. A short period of time, the shark stayed away from it, but eventually they came back in for the bait.
Yeah, one of them says, screw it.
Sharks don't care.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't matter what you have.
So they...
Are they still using lemon sharks at that point?
Yeah.
To drive a wedge between... Okay.
Yes. So as they concluded, back to the drawing board. So one final morning of testing, the author gets into one of those shark cages.
Mm.
And he is lowered into the water, and there are dead tuna heads all around him as bait.
Oh, man.
And he said he was wearing a shark man's wristband, and he tried to keep his hands and fingers inside the cage. You need to hold on to it for leverage as you're being lowered, but you don't want the shark to take off a hand. So he said that made him nervous. And he said for a while, no sharks came close. And then he described this, that after a few minutes, gaping jaws appeared out of the nothingness right in front of him. A 14-foot great white surged toward the tuna head that was right outside the cage. Then he saw its eyes roll back into its head. The jaws clamped down on the tuna head, and he disappeared into the darkness.
Mm. Those black eyes roll over white.
And then he said he started desperately yanking on the cord, signaling, get me the hell out of here. I've always said I would rather try to take on a grizzly bear than a great white shark, because even though the method of punching a shark in the nose does appear to work,
mm-hmm.
I would rather fight the animal on land because that's my turf. And in the water, you're clearly on their turf.
Yeah, but I'm a Dunham, and the water is our turf. That is our land.
Whoa. Yeah, I think I would take the shark. I think that... I think being killed by a grizzly bear is worse than being killed by a shark.
Because maybe you'll drown?
Yeah, drown, which we hear is not that horrible of a death, people who've gone through drowning.
Not a bad way to go.
Especially if the weather's nice. It's
but yeah, that, and also if you bleed to death in the water, that seems better than bleeding to death on the land. I don't know why.
And I think if you just get that shark with one one clean punch right to the noggin, I think he'll leave you alone.
That does apparently work.
Mm-hmm.
I like
but a bear, that's not going to work.
No,
for
it's not
going to
work with the bear. It's really going to tick him off.
I like your playlet of someone being yanked under.
What? I don't have a playlet about that.
Oh, gosh. Your neck's going to hurt the rest of the day.
It's so violent because your hair goes everywhere.
Flying around, his eyes bug out.
All right, that's long-awaited shark repellent talk.